friends. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Lienicker.
Wheels, how's it rolling?
What would happen if you got a second mic and then you didn't always have no mic when, like, as if it's a surprise? It's like Color War Breakout. You don't know that a podcast that's basically the same time every week is going to happen.
Well, I didn't know that I was going to be working from home today, so that's really what happened.
I just have two mics.
I do have two mics, but the mic at home actually sucks because I used it when I recorded the Patreon episode with AB, which came out good, the audio, if I do say so myself, but only because of an insane amount of editing on my part. So
you essentially have one mic because the second mic isn't good, you're saying.
I should buy a second good mic, probably. That'd be fair. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll do that. But let's talk football. I'm not really, you know, my traditional custom of stopping to care about the NFL as soon as the Vikings are eliminated took effect at, like, you know, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So you're out. You're out on football.
Well, so I went to IKEA, and I missed the first bit of the Ravens-Titans game, which I thought didn't matter because it was going to be a blowout anyway. And it was a blowout, but, you know, not exactly as predicted. I'm starting to get annoyed about a couple of, like, Derrick Henry, like, super fans. Like Bill Simmons, for example, who said he would take him over, like, any quarterback if he was, like, doing, like, a total NFL redraft, which obviously is insane. Like, the Titans have scored on 6 of 20 possessions in the playoffs. The Titans' offense has not been good in the playoffs, okay?
Yeah.
The reason they've won is because they gave up 12 and 13 points to the two best teams in the AFC. Like, the Ravens had a historically great offense, and they allowed 12 points to them. That's why they won the game. It has nothing to do with Derrick Henry. I think they lost the time of possession 9 consecutive games, 10 consecutive games, which is indicative of lacking a running game. So, I mean, I shouldn't say it has nothing to do with Derrick Henry, because Henry played well, obviously, and Tannehill has done nothing. But they haven't won because of their offense. They've won because of their defense. Their defense has been astoundingly good.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Any of the four teams left could, without question, win the Super Bowl, and nobody would bat an eye at this point.
Well, I guess at a certain point, if the Titans have already won what they've won, then you have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your prediction right now of the four teams remaining?
Okay, I mean, listen, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm just saying, no, but I wouldn't be shocked at this point if the Titans would win. And I think the Niners blow out the Packers.
No, but what's your Super Bowl prediction?
Oh, so between the Chiefs and the Niners?
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs win that game.
Yeah, I think San Francisco is...
I think the Chiefs are the Ravens and the Niners are the Niners.
Yeah, but the Chiefs, and I mean, I think you said this in the preseason, they can't hold anybody to less than 30 points. So every game is going to be like 45-35.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do that against Houston, but can they do that against San Francisco with that defense?
Yeah, I don't know. I it's going to be almost impossible to stop the Chiefs.
We'll have time to preview the Super Bowl. Let's at least give the Packers and the Titans a week's worth of conversation.
First of all, guess the lines. Who won guess the lines? You did, right?
This week. So last week you beat me, I think, 3-0, what you said. This week I beat you 2-1. Yeah. Because I guess Green Bay, San Francisco, exactly right. And then
2-1?
We were both off.
Oh, because ties. We play by Cousin Sal rules?
Yeah, we tie. Well, 2-1 or 1-0, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let's talk about what happened before we jump to the lines. So, you know, the Vikings, I think I had said how I thought it was going to be a close game, but I said, you know, there was a chance that it was just going to be sort of a redux of, like, you know, the Vikings against the Bears, where the Vikings offense would completely no-show, and I think I said something like, you know, San Francisco could win 21-6 or some number I made up, and what was the final score? 27-10. So it was kind of similar to that. The offense just completely no-showed. San Francisco rushed 4 the whole game, and yet Cousins was under more pressure than any game all year, even more than the Packers game. So the offensive line, which was phenomenal the week before against New Orleans when Cousins wasn't touched, just completely no-showed. The running game did absolutely nothing, even though San Francisco has a weak running defense in theory. And, you know, I still think that the Vikings are pretty close to San Francisco in terms of overall talent. But when one team is playing, you know, on 5.5 days rest after, you know, being on the road the week before against another elite team and going to overtime, and the other team has had 2 weeks of rest and is everybody totally healthy, like, San Francisco is really tough, I think, in this circumstance. And they're going to have 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. And as long as, you know, Dee Ford and all these guys on their defense stay healthy, I really think, you know, to me, they're the overwhelming favorites. I think that the Packers have even less of a chance than the Titans. I really do this week.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, people are saying, all right, so the Niners blew out Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, people talk about the 45-3 game. They'll never be sort of like one of the bigger blowouts in any game in the last, like, 10 years was that 45-3 Patriots game. And then the Jets go into New England and win in the divisional playoff round after having been swept, not just losing 45-3.
Yeah.
So people are sort of using that as hope for the Packers. But I just don't see a scenario where the Packers.
But also, like, I guess the Packers played like the worst team in the playoffs, and they barely beat them, you know, on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So all right, great. They looked okay, but like Seattle sucks. We know Seattle sucked all year. Seattle finished, I think, +10 their point differential over the season. So they're basically a 500 team, and they were a 500 team with Russell Wilson playing, you know, ungodly well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that, you know, Green Bay needed to beat Seattle much more soundly if they wanted to impress anybody, and they really didn't do that.
I'm with you. So, but there was no real frustration because the Vikings, they didn't embarrass themselves, but they were clearly outclassed.
Well, I mean, they did embarrass themselves, but it's the first.
They played a better team.
Yeah, the Vikings haven't played a playoff game like that since. You can't even count the game with Joe Webb because that game didn't even count. Like the victory there was making the playoffs that year. So the Vikings haven't had a playoff game like this probably since 2008 when they lost to the Eagles in the second round. Because either the Vikings' playoff losses are either, you know, again, it's either games that they're expected to win and they're blown out in tremendous fashion, like, you know, 41-0 or like the NFC Championship game against the Eagles a couple years ago, or they lose like complete heartbreakers. They don't lose games like this where they're expected to lose. You know, they're 7-point underdogs and they lose by more than that. And, you know, so at least yeah, it wasn't emotionally heartbreaking. It, you know, by the third quarter, the writing was on the wall. And they just could do nothing. And I don't know how Green Bay's offense is worse than the Vikings' offense. So I don't see how Green Bay is going to be able to move the ball against San Francisco if San Francisco's defense is playing that way. And they didn't move the ball against San Francisco last time. So
no, I'd agree.
Yeah, but let's okay. So the Sunday night game or the Saturday night game. I mean, are you drawing?
Well, can I just say so the Vikings have still not won two playoff games in a year.
Yes.
Since the 80s, since 1987, I believe this was the eighth straight time or ninth straight time that they had a chance to do so and lost the second playoff game. I gave you the trivia question, but the only teams...
What do you mean the eighth straight time? I don't understand what you meant by that.
They've won a playoff game and had a chance to snap that streak, I think, now nine straight times.
Oh, I see. They haven't gone 1-1 in the playoffs each of the last eight times you've been there.
They've gone 1-1 nine times. So the Vikings and the Lions are the only NFC teams that have not won two playoff games in the season.
Yeah.
You guessed this mostly correctly. You guessed seven teams. There are six. The Browns, Bengals, Dolphins, and Texans. You said the Chiefs, but the Chiefs did do it in 93.
Yeah.
But yeah, those teams have all not won two playoff games in a year. So you are in really sad company.
I mean, you know how old this is? Adam Summers was a guy 2 years ahead of me in high school. So when I was in 10th grade, Adam Summers graduated high school. This is in 1999. And in the 1999 yearbook, in fact, I'm going to go get it right now. Adam Summers is a guy from Queens, New York, but is a Vikings fan. Everywhere I've always gone in my life, I've always met a couple of locals who are Vikings fans, even though they're from, you know, wherever I live, Philadelphia, Toronto, New York, Washington. For some reason, the Vikings are the kind of team that always attract. They're not a national team like the Packers, but they always do have fans all over the country. I'm not sure why. And Adam Summers was a Vikings fan. And I'm whipping open this yearbook. This is from 1999. And I quote, Summers hopes one day to see his beloved Vikings win two playoff games. So in 1999, 21 years ago, it was a dream. And it still hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Denny Green,
we're a bunch of losers.
Under Denny Green, they made the playoffs every year except for 95. And they lost, I think they lost the wild card, let's see, 92 they lost to Washington, 93 they lost to Chicago, I was at the game, 94 they lost to the Giants. 96, they lost the Cowboys. They got blown out. 97, they beat the Giants in the first round. Then they lost in the divisional round. 98, of course, they beat the Cardinals and they lost the NFC Championship Gary Anderson game. 99, they lost. Who did they beat in the first round? The Cowboys, I think, again. Then they lost to the Rams, like 49-37 or whatever that game was. 2000, of course, they won the first round and then they lost 41-0 to the Giants. So then, let's see. 2004 is the year that they lost that Randy Moss game they won in Green Bay and then they lost to Philadelphia in the divisional round. 2008 they lost in the first round of the Eagles. 2009 they beat the Cowboys 34-3 and then they lost 12 men on the field to the Saints. 2012 they lost the Blair Walsh game. 2012 they lost the Joe Webb game. 2015 they lost the Blair Walsh game. 2017 they beat the Minneapolis Miracle and then they lost the Eagles in this year. Of course, they beat the Saints again, and then they lost. Yeah, so what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They've made the playoffs 16 times in the last 25 years, and they've won one or zero playoff games every single time. So.
Well, listen, the Chiefs are sort of the Vikings of the AFC, and, you know, they they have only won it, the two playoff games once, but they have, like the Vikings, not been to the Super Bowl since, you know, their heyday. And, you know, this will be the biggest monkey off the back we've seen in the NFL. Basically, what was the last time a team, not, you know, Peyton Manning did it, what was the last time a team fully got the monkey off their back?
The Eagles.
Like,
2 years
yeah,
ago.
The Eagles have. That's true. Because in baseball, it's happened like 4 or 5 times in the last decade plus. Right, there's really... And listen, the Chiefs won Super Bowl 4. It really does nothing to most Chiefs fans, the same as the Jets with Super Bowl 3, that they won that Super Bowl. And I guess the Dolphins are in that territory now, you know?
Yeah, the only thing I'm holding on to as a Vikings fan with that Super Bowl 4 loss is that the Vikings were the NFL champions that year, because that was the last year before the conferences. So the Vikings are the last NFL champions to have ended their season with a loss, but and one of only two, I guess, because the Colts the year before. But hey, at least the Vikings do have one NFL championship.
Mazel tov. All right. Yeah.
All right. So let's jump to the Sunday games. Yeah. So all right. So Sunday started, of course, with Kansas City and Houston. My two big bets last year, week, if you remember, were I said take the Vikings 49ers under. That paid off. And then I was having Houston to cover. And, you know, it looked pretty good for about a quarter and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't, I mean, well, obviously we blame Bill O'Brien to a certain extent for, you know, kicking a field goal on 4th and inches. But he was up 21-0, even if they score there. I mean, they ended up, they lost by 20. They didn't even get close to covering. So, does it really matter? Was their defense was just not going to do anything, basically.
No, they were not.
We finally saw the Houston that we were, the Kansas City that we were waiting for all year. I mean, Kansas City, did they score more than 40 points in any regular season game?
Did the Chiefs, like, I feel like early in the year.
I think week one, they scored like 40, and then I don't know if.
Yeah. Yeah, we did not see, the Chiefs weren't very Chiefsy this year.
Yeah.
It's such a Bill Simmons.
And then when Patrick Mahomes came back from his injury, the first game, which was the loss in Tennessee, he had a good game. But after that, the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year, he really wasn't that good.
Yeah. I mean, they looked like such a force, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they scored 40 against Jacksonville, and they never again scored more than 34.
Yeah.
No, they had 40 against Oakland. Sorry, they had 40.
But they never topped 40 all season.
They never topped 40 all season, correct. They're low. Do you want to guess their low?
I don't know.
What was the 13? Fewest points? Yeah, 13 at home against the, against
just,
the Colts.
I just made up a number. Oh, yeah, that game. Yeah, I remember that game. Yep. That's when they lost. They lost that week, and then they lost the next week to Houston, didn't they?
Yes.
And then the next week to Green Bay or something? They lost
They beat Denver and then lost to Green Bay. It was 3 out of 4.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, they beat and then they beat the Vikings on the last.
And then Tennessee, and then they lost in Tennessee. So
That was the first game that was back with Mahomes. Yeah,
I mean, it's fascinating because they were able to move the ball. You know, Mahomes threw for 446 his most all year. They were able to move the ball. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop the Titans this week either. And obviously, you know, Henry is a bad matchup because he will be able to eat enough of the clock. Although they needed about 40 seconds per drive last week, so I don't know if the time of possession mattered at all. Like, they're still probably both going to get 12 possessions because the Chiefs go so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Tannehill is going to have to do something, and he hasn't yet in the playoffs. He hasn't needed to.
I think when Tannehill, if they go down 10.
Lamar Jackson's usage was 83. He had 83 pass attempts, rushes, and sacks.
I think the most of any game in NFL history, right?
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill in 2 playoff games has 41. So... which is like 1970s era, 1960s era. It's incredible how little they've asked Tannehill to do so far. And, you know, I don't think that can hold. He's, he's been okay. He's been efficient, I guess. He's 15 for 29 passing, which isn't great. But but he's only had 1 turnover, which is pretty good. And, he had a rushing touchdown. But, yeah, he's going to have to – he has 171 total yards of offense through 2 games. And he's going to need that in a half if they're going to stay with Kansas City.
I think if the Titans go down 10, it could get ugly fast.
Yeah, this podcast is completely out of order. So I sort of wanted to go through each of the 4 games last weekend in order, but you keep jumping around.
I'm not jumping out of order. Yeah. I'm not doing anything.
All right, well, the listeners can comment on that. So then the final game was Seattle at Green Bay. Seattle, as per contractual rules, the game came down to the end of the game to a single score. I got to say, Saturday and Sunday here in New Jersey, it was in the high 60s for some insane reason. And so we sat outside and watched the game on my patio. We made a little bonfire, a little s'more action. It was a lot of fun. So it was really enjoyable way to watch an NFL playoff game. Never thought I would see the day that that would happen in January.
Mm-hmm.
Upside to global warming, I guess. But it was enjoyable to watch. This weekend for the NFC Championship and AFC Championship game, I'm going to be in Florida at my in-laws the way I was 2 years ago for the Vikings-Eagles game. And, you know, I had already warned my in-laws. I said, look, if the Vikings win on Saturday night, you cannot – because you remember what happened 2 years ago, right? How they invited, like, all their Yenta friends over?
Yeah. Who could forget? The Yentas came over.
Yeah.
But you guys got killed anyway.
So, yeah. So I got them to promise that they wouldn't have anybody over for Sunday night. But now that it's, you know, just the Packers and Eagles and 49ers, mm-hmm. excuse me, they can bring over as many people as they want. All right. So, yeah. So, fine. So let's jump to these games. So the first one is going to be Tennessee at Kansas City. I guess, look, Tennessee's already went into New England and Baltimore, so anything is possible. But I don't see a scenario.
Yeah, and they beat the Chiefs. What's the line? 7?
7.5.
7.5.
Yeah.
I think the extra half point makes me want to take Tennessee. I think I'd take Tennessee, but I'm picking the Chiefs to win. So there's no degree of confidence, no $100 million on it.
I'm going to take Kansas City because I learned my lesson last week that Kansas City can immediately turn a 7-point lead into a 10-point lead into a 14-point lead into a 21-point lead. So I think Kansas City is going to win this game like 38-28.
Yeah, that's very similar. It was 35-32 the first time they played, so that's not totally unreasonable at all.
All right, and then we go to the late game. It's not going to be 37-9, but I think San Francisco is going to win pretty easily. There'll be a point when Rodgers has like a touchdown in the third quarter and he looks like he's getting it close. They'll pull within like 24-17 or something, but I think San Francisco will end up winning like 30.
I just think he's not going to be able to throw. I think they're going to be hitting him all day. Rodgers is going to be cranky.
Yeah,
Rodgers sucks. I mean, he's good at football, but he's such a bad guy. It's funny, like most of these. Like, I don't think Brady's like a great person, but he is not. Like, I've never heard a real bad story about Brady. Like Rodgers, I've never heard a good story about Rodgers.
I mean, I've always kind of liked Rodgers. I've liked his interviews. He's a thoughtful guy. He doesn't seem like a like a Neanderthal. But
everyone says he's a jerk.
But the fact that he can't get along with anyone in his family, I do judge you for that.
Not just the family. Not just the family. I think like nobody likes him.
He can't get along with his non-State Farm agent, his insurance agent.
Mm-hmm.
He makes fun of the guy on national TV. That's not very nice. The guy's obviously having nightmares. He's going through psychological issues.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, all right. I'm really done talking about football. Can we stop talking about football?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I'm done. You know, Kansas City, San Francisco will be a good Super Bowl. You know, it's a good chance for Kansas City to finally get off the schneid. Andy Reid, obviously. So I'll be rooting for him. I'll be rooting for them. San Francisco, a worthy winner, I guess. It's just annoying as a Vikings fan because San Francisco this year just really came out of nowhere. Their defense popped. But, you know, the Vikings had a defense that popped a couple of years ago. And when the Vikings do it, they find a way to lose.
So you think they're a major regression candidate, the Niners?
But next year, you're saying... Well, yeah. I mean, on the other hand, maybe Shanahan can continue to improve this offense, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Garoppolo has so few games under his belt that it's
yeah, and Deebo Samuel in theory should only get. I mean, like their weapons, other than Kittle, their weapons aren't great. I mean, Samuel really started to emerge in the second half of the year, but in theory, he should get better if they could get another receiver on the outside. And Sanders is fine in the slot, but you know, he's obviously on the downswing of his career. Their running backs, you know, they made that insane contract for Jerick McKinnon, which we all made fun of. But they've had an elite running game with, you know, with Coleman, basically a three-headed monster between Coleman and Mostert. And so, in theory, that can only get better if they develop sort of even a better running back. So their offense might get better, but I think their defense is going to have to regress because, you know, New England and San Francisco this year had, by DVOA standards, both had historically great defenses, and that doesn't tend to stay the same year after year. Mm-hmm. So as I promised last week, just like I did for the previous two rounds, I looked over the past 30 years at every single conference championship weekend to rank the best ones. We had a dynamite wildcard weekend. We had a crappy divisional weekend. Let's hope that we come back to a good conference championship weekend. But so I've gone ahead and ranked the best 7 conference championship weekends, pair of games over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm.
That's in hindsight, not like most anticipated before.
Yeah, no, these were the best games. Yeah, not the most anticipated. All right, okay. So let's start with number 7. Number 7, we start with 1995. Today is actually the anniversary of this game. I saw somebody, I think maybe it was Bill Simmons, retweeted it. The upstart Colts, led by quarterback Jim Harbaugh, 9-7, go on a miracle run through the playoffs, kind of like the Titans this year. They take a 16-13 lead over the Steelers. on a 47-yard touchdown pass early in the fourth quarter. After a couple of punts, the Steelers put together a drive to take back the lead, 20-16. The Colts get the ball back with 1:34 remaining. They drive 55 yards. They get to the Steelers' 30-yard line, and Jim Harbaugh throws a Hail Mary on the last play of the game, and the receiver has it in his hands on the ground, but it falls out.
Yeah, what was his name, Brooks?
Brooks. Yeah, I don't remember that. So that game was very exciting. The reason this is only number 7.
That's the only thing people remember from that game is the drop Hail Mary.
Yeah.
It's truly the only play people remember from the game.
No, but people remember that whole Colts run, kind of the way they remember the Jaguars run the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other game was the Cowboys, who had won 2 of the previous 3 Super Bowls, 9-point favorites against the Packers. The Packers were playing in their first ever conference championship game in 1995.
Mm-hmm. Because there was none in the first two seasons.
Yeah, they had an advance since Super Bowl II. The Packers were a terrible team in the 70s and 80s, basically. They took 2 decades off. So 95 is their first good year, basically, since Super Bowl II, and that was before conferences existed. As I said earlier in the podcast, the first 4 what we now think of as the NFC, but the NFL participants in the Super Bowl, Packers, Colts, and Vikings, were technically NFL mm-hmm. champions, not NFC champions. Anyway, this game was very close throughout. Favre gives the Packers a 27-24 lead late in the third quarter, but that's basically where it ends. The Cowboys respond with a long drive that ends in an Emmitt Smith touchdown run to take back the lead. Then Favre throws a pick. Emmitt Smith runs for another touchdown, which is his third of the game, makes it 38-27. And the Packers, mm-hmm. on their next 2 drives, wouldn't even make it past the Cowboys' 46-yard line. And so the Cowboys won, they covered, and they won their 3rd title in 4 years. So we had a great game. We had a game that was good for 3 quarters. That's it. 1998, similar situation. Obviously, the Gary Anderson game for the Vikings. I don't even want to talk about that because I'm going to start shaking. Why don't you mm-hmm. tell us about this Jets-Broncos game?
I mean, it's the worst day of both of our lives, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, what happened for the Jets?
Jets are up 3-0 in Denver.
At the half.
Denver's trying to repeat as Super Bowl champion. They just beat Brett Favre's Packers the year before. The 4 best teams in the NFL that year clearly made the conference championship games. And realistically, it was 1 Vikings versus 4 Falcons and 2 Broncos versus 3 Jets. And the Broncos trailed the Jets 3-0 at the half in Denver. The Broncos pinned in their own territory at the beginning of the second half, have a punt blocked. The ball lands on the 1-yard line. Curtis Martin smashes it in. So the Jets are up 10-0, and the Jets turn the ball over 6 times and lose 23-10.
Yeah. After the block punt, can I tell you the ensuing drives of the game in the third quarter?
Yeah. I mean, the Jets did not recover a kickoff. If you want to understand.
Broncos touchdown, Jets punt. Broncos field goal, yeah. Jets punt. Broncos field goal, mm-hmm. Jets punt. Broncos touchdown, Jets fumble. And that's how it went from 10-0 to 23-10.
Yeah, not just fumble. Jets did not recover the kickoff. Like, yeah. Dave Meggett didn't fall on the ball, and the Broncos
yeah.
did.
Yeah. Meggett, fumble machine.
6 turnovers. It was awful.
Yeah, so that's number 6. Yeah, so that game, similarly, you know, 1 great game and 1 game that was, you know, good for a half, and then it got...
You know, one of the fascinating things is in the 4-year stretch, you know, you mentioned the Packers-Cowboys game, which is the end of the 4-year stretch where it was just, you know, it was mostly Cowboys. The Cowboys were in all 4, 3 against the Niners, 1 against the Packers. And then they have not returned to the conference championship game since, right? Since that 4-year run. But yeah, and every single game had the Packers Niners in the 90s, minus the 1 year the Redskins won the Super Bowl. The Packers, Cowboys, and Niners were always represented.
Yes.
Anyway, but none of those games were close. They were incredibly high stakes games, but you know, all of them were double digit scores: 10, 17, 10, 11.
Yeah.
But those are like 4 of the most anticipated, you know, 7 playoff games, non-Super Bowl games of our lifetime.
Yeah, and that's why my top 5 NFC Championship, championship game Sundays is over the past 30 years are all from the past 10 years.
Yeah, which is, I think, a little bit inaccurate. I do think those games are such a high, like, there's like 17 Hall of Famers in those games.
Yeah, but they weren't exciting high level. Yeah, but they weren't exciting games, though. They were blowouts. Mm-hmm.
All right, so, they felt yeah. more important because right, so, it was also like the winner yeah. of this game is going to win the Super Bowl because that was when the NFC was winning.
But by the same token, that meant the AFC game was irrelevant. It was like the San Diego Chargers won the yeah. Super Bowl. Who cares? Yeah. All right. So number.
Right, I mean, the best game of the 90s in the NFC is by far the Giants Niners game where Montana gets injured at the end of the game. But if I'm not mistaken, the Bills beat the Raiders 51-3 that day. Also,
yes, 51-3. So yeah. All right. So number 5 for me is 2008. The Eagles, as I already mentioned, beat the Vikings in the divisional round. They go to face the Cardinals. The Cardinals were 9-7 that year. Were not a very good team. Their entire division was under 500. They were basically like worse than the Eagles this year. Garbage team. But Larry Fitzgerald had the best wide receiver postseason run in NFL history. In this game, the Cardinals are leading the Eagles 24-6 at the half. But the Eagles' first three drives of the second half all end with McNabb touchdowns. The third one, a 62-yarder to DeSean Jackson to give the Eagles a 25-24 lead in the fourth quarter. The Cardinals respond with a touchdown of their own, a successful two-point conversion, making it 32-25, under 3 minutes to go. The Eagles drive down the field, but their drive ends at midfield, and the Cardinals hold on for the win. So that game was okay, not great. Pittsburgh against Baltimore, divisional matchup. Those teams plain don't like each other. That was the AFC championship that year. Pittsburgh had an early 13-0 lead, but the Ravens come back. They make it 16-14 midway through the fourth quarter. They hold the Steelers.
Polamalu has a pick six.
Yes, they hold the.
But you know, I'm surprised this made it this high because that was a fine day, but not.
Well, there's not a lot. You're exactly right. So the Steelers have a three and out. They give the ball back to Baltimore. Chance to take the lead. Flacco throws a pick six to Polamalu. Steelers up 23-14. On the next drive, Willis McGahee fumbles. The Steelers get the ball back. And then on the next drive, Flacco throws another pick. And so, yeah, that game is in 23-14. So the point is that we haven't had the best – it's been very rare to have two good championship games on the same Sunday. Four is 2010. Your Jets appear again. The Bears sucked. Jay Cutler gets knocked out. Caleb Haley throws a pick six with 6 minutes to go.
Caleb Haney. And this is that was an awful day. These were below average games. This should not be on the list.
But at least they were both one score games.
They were unwatchable. The Bears game was unwatchable.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't even a one score game.
Yeah, it was. It was 21-14.
But at the end of the game, it was not a one score game. It was 14-0 at the half. 14-0 after three. It wasn't a good game. It was never in doubt. It was never in doubt. And the truth is, and the Jets are down 24-0 into Steelers. Yes, the Jets lose 24-19, but the Jets never had the ball with a chance to. The Jets are down 24-10.
Yes, they're down 24-10. They're stuffed four straight times after first and goal on the two.
Yes. But they get the safety, they score the touchdown, but they never get the ball back. Yeah. Now, they would have scored. Like, the Jets, at that point, they were feeling it. They just didn't show up in the first half. Yeah. But, you know, you go down 24-0, unless you have Pat Mahomes.
By the way, Haney, you forget. Haney scores a touchdown in four plays after to make it 21-14. The Packers go three and out, and Haney drives the Packers into Green Bay territory again.
Everyone's sleeping during this game.
He throws the ball into the end zone on fourth and five, that's a pick into the game.
This is a below average football sign.
All right. Well, there weren't a lot of – so number three is 2009. Yet again, both of our teams are breaking our hearts. The Vikings outgain New Orleans by 218 yards, but they have six fumbles, two interceptions, a dirty, bountying, Nazified Greg Williams defense, incompetent refereeing, 12 men on the field, and Brett Favre thinking he's in Detroit – the NFL rules giving the team that won the toss a field goal to win the game. All of that, we know what happens. Meanwhile, for your Jets, 17-6 lead over Peyton Manning in the first half. What happened from that point forward?
Yeah, but it was never really in doubt. Manning gets the touchdown and two-point conversion before halftime. The Jets never score again. Yeah. It was pretty clear to everyone watching that the Colts were always going to win that game. You know, the Saints-Vikings is the story. You know, the only thing people remember from that playoffs are the Cardinals beat the Packers 51-45 in overtime. People remember that.
Great game.
The Saints-Vikings game and then the pick six in the Super Bowl, which was an otherwise relatively forgettable Super Bowl, the Saints-Colts game.
Yeah. Although it was Drew Brees against Peyton Manning, the two best quarterbacks of all time.
No, for sure. And it's the only time we've ever had a superstar quarterback for a superstar quarterback, which hopefully we'll have with Mahomes and Rodgers, but I don't think we will. It's never happened, right? Brady never faces Rodgers in a Super Bowl. I guess Brady Wilson, I guess, if you want to say that, if you want to put Wilson on that level. But Brady never faces Rodgers, never faces Brees in a Super Bowl. Right, Manning never faces Rodgers.
Favre faced Elway, right? I mean, okay, so here.
Yeah, Favre Elway. No, I'm talking about in this era. I'm not saying there's never been a good quarterback. And Montana faced Marino.
Aikman against Kelly, obviously. And, the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP, he went against Brady.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, but I would say that probably.
But you're talking about, like, top 15 level quarterback. The only matchup of this era, I believe, is
Brady Wilson.
Brady Wilson. I was going to say Manning Brees.
Wilson's not top 15 all time, but I think he's going to end up in the top 20 for sure. It'd be a big surprise if he doesn't. Hello. His career has been going so far. You don't think so? Akiva, are you there?
Yeah. Just a poor network connection for 1 second.
Okay. All right. So now let's get to the last. Again?
No. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so let's get to the only two Sundays in the last 30 years when both conference championship games were great games. Number two is 2011. That was the game where Kyle Williams fumbled on two different punt returns, and the Giants escaped with that 2017 win in OT against Alex Smith and the 49ers.
Yeah, in San Francisco, not the only time that the Giants have gone to San Francisco and won the conference championship game undeserved.
Yes, and then the other game was the Patriots came back in the fourth, take that 23-20 lead against the Ravens, and Billy Cundiff lines up for a 32-yard chip shot to send the game to overtime. Remember that? Ravens are on the 15-yard line?
Yes. Yeah.
Misses the field goal. And so, yeah, we had Patriots-Giants instead of San Francisco-Baltimore, as we should have.
I mean, it's really crazy. The Giants win two Super Bowls completely undeserved.
Yeah, pulling stuff
out
of their
toes. And the conference championship games are fluke, ludicrous overtime road wins.
Yeah.
By three.
Yeah.
Just ludicrous.
Yeah, but they did what they needed to do, so kudos to them. Yeah. And then the the number one conference championship was last year. The Saints-Rams game with the no defense pass interference call. And then the Pats-Chiefs game. Both games went to overtime. That's crazy.
Yes. Two overtime games. Mahomes famously never gets the ball in overtime, right?
Yeah. Yep. So
The Patriots really probably outplayed the Chiefs that game.
Yeah, so we've been very lucky, I think. Last year we had, you know, those phenomenal games.
People who are younger than us don't realize, like, there was no such thing as a good Super Bowl. Now we almost always assume the Super Bowl is going to be entertaining and competitive.
Yeah, although not last year.
And there was, you know, a lot of times, like, pre-parody and like, hardcore free agency, there was a team that was substantially better, and then they just won the Super Bowl. Like, now those teams don't win a lot, but it was like, oh, the Niners are much better, and they're going to win 41-3 in the championship week, and the Super Bowl is going to be over before, like, the food gets cold, you know?
Yeah. All right, so
I mean, I had a Super Bowl party for Niners-Chargers. The game is over literally before we start eating.
Yeah, but neither one of us has a lot of hope for the exciting games this weekend.
There is a chance that they're both blowouts. I think the Chiefs-Titans has, you know, especially the stakes will feel very high if the Titans have a chance to beat the Chiefs.
Yep.
I have a feeling the Chiefs are going to get a lot of calls. Who would have thought that the Chiefs are like the league's team, but they are the league's team right now.
Yeah, given the odds.
Because the league, Chiefs-Niners, the league is fine with. Chiefs-Packers is a fantastic Super Bowl for the league, obviously.
Anything with the Titans is bad.
Titans-Niners is a disaster. Yeah. Titans-Packers is not great either.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm done talking about football. It's been 15
minutes. All right, we got a few more minutes of this podcast, so what should we talk about?
You tell me. Anything in the world.
Do we have any sort of interesting thing going on? Let's ask the listeners. What should our NBA pool be for February? Should we do I had an idea for betting every game against the spread. You could bet as many games as you want against the spread, whoever has the best win.
Yeah, nobody wants to pick NBA games against the spread regular season games.
Why not? Except what about DFS? What if we do like a monthly DFS pool? Every night, there's a different winner. Or like a few times a week. Maybe not every single night. Let's say three times.
No, also, nobody wants like every night homework. It's too much work.
It's not homework. People like DFS. You're playing a DFS every night, but it's just against.
It's a lot of work.
All right. Well, that's less work for you because that's no work for you. There's no spreadsheet there.
Yeah, it's all on the website. That's true. That's an upside.
All right, let's see what people have to say about that. Anything else? What are we going to do? You know, we famously talked about Riverdale before the Super Bowl. What are we going to do? Let's plan out the next few weeks, okay?
We're doing this on the air right now.
Yeah, why not? We have like five more minutes. We want to, you know, we always say like the episode should be at least a half hour, no?
Yeah. Do you want to discuss the Baseball Hall of Fame or the NFL Hall of Fame?
No, that's a different podcast. We could do that either next week or on the Patreon episode. I don't want to, then we're going to have nothing to talk about. But the Royal Rumble
Patreon
is coming.
Episode, we're only up to part five of like the 20-part music.
Well, we got that, but we also have no football coming soon. Like you know, we don't have to.
Yeah, you were mad at me. I gave three Patreon episodes last week. Too much free content, you said.
Furious. I was furious.
Not even free content.
I don't care about the content. It's like, why would we wouldn't have had to record after this had you just not been a buffoon and posted that on Thursday. You could have posted it today and we would be happy.
Listen, I'm giving the listeners extra
content. You're wasting a half hour of my life. You're wasting my whole life.
What are you doing with your life that's so busy right now? Please tell me.
I'm a busy guy.
Yeah? What are you doing after this podcast?
I'm eating dinner.
Yeah? And then what's after that?
I'm watching skiing. Michaela Schifrin's getting whooped. You think that's wasting time?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I agree.
My daughter didn't even hear you say wasting. Like,
yeah, she's right.
It definitely is wasting time.
Yeah, bring your daughter on this podcast.
Not if I get paid to watch skiing.
Yeah.
You get paid to watch skiing.
Yeah, baby.
Starting a skiing podcast. Is there like a competitive a non-Olympics season competitive skiing podcast out there?
I don't think so. I was wondering, like, there's no biathlon podcast, famously, is my favorite.
Yeah, you and Tony Scott should start one.
What do you want to ask Chester?
If he has Sushi Go Party.
Do you have the game Sushi Go Party? No one wants to know.
I have no sushi games, unfortunately. We have no sushi games in
Should
our house.
Should they get it? Because it's a fun game for kids. He wants you to get it.
Sushi Go Party?
It's a fun family game. Although his kids are younger. Like, remember, he's got a kid. He's got his Eris is his oldest kid. You're our third. So maybe when his kids are a year or two older. When you're two. You are two.
You're turning three.
Yeah, you're turning three. All right, guys, get out of here, okay?
Bye.
Say goodnight to Chester. Say goodbye to Chester.
Bye, Chester Bester.
Bye. Chester is the Bester. My son my son had his Sidor party in school on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like a little first grade graduation kind of ceremony, whatever it is. And and when they called up his name, you know, I'm like videotaping it. So I see when he goes up and he, you know, gets the book from the teacher and shakes hands and takes a picture and all that. And I hear some little girl behind me on the recording say, Chester is the Bester. So your son and that girl are on the same wavelength. Sushi Go Party, it says his age is 8 to 15. So I think my kids are really young.
Yeah, no, too young. I mean, your five-year-old could definitely get it. But yeah, nobody else will get it. It's not for you guys.
Well, the seven-year-old hopefully also.
We play a lot of board games now, and please stop.
My kids play Monopoly around the clock. Regular, not even Monopoly Junior.
Chester's kids play Monopoly.
Wait, you have to put this boy in it. It's falling out.
No, it's literally... Hello?
Yeah?
Please stop it, Noah.
All right, you know what? I'm buying Sushi Go Party, and I'm sending it to my in-laws' house. We have something to do in Florida this week.
It's not for – I mean, you'll be able to play it with, like, your in-laws and your wife maybe, but it's like a kid-centric game, and you don't have any
– No, my 7-year-old can play. It's a party game.
It's like a party game.
So should I not buy this game?
Sushi Go Party for, like, hey, my wife's here. It's a whole family thing. He's got, like, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
I got 7, 5, and 3.
7, 5, and 3. I'm too young. Get something else. What's a good game for them? 7 to 5. All
right. So then the 3-year-old doesn't care because he's on teams anyways.
What we do is we give my 2-year-old cards. Dixit. My wife says Dixit is better.
Dixit?
Yeah. D-I-X-I-T.
I trust your children's endorsements more than your wife's, with all due respect to Mara. So I'm buying Sushi Go Party. It's done already.
I think you should buy Dixit.
Sushi Go Party's already been ordered.
All right. He already bought it. I let him know. Can everyone get out of here? What is going on? You know what? You know what happened? So my office has a key, and I'm famously not a person who loses things, but my wife lost the other key.
I didn't lose it. I know exactly where it is.
And then she... Where is it?
I'm telling you.
And then she... So now I have no key to this door, and now these lunatics just come in whenever they want. It's awful.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough situation.
You hit it somewhere? Imagine if this was a podcast people cared about. Like Renat.
If we weren't completely mailing it in right now.
This is a mail-in episode.
Yeah. Listen, the Vikings did it on Saturday night, and it's hard for me to get motivated here. So I'll recover. Yeah. Just give me some time.
Yeah, Karl Malone would like this episode, if there was more 15-year-old women. let's talk about Kevin Stefanski. You guys lose your offensive coordinator to the Browns.
Don't care at all.
The Browns' problems are solved.
Yeah. I mean, Paul DePodesta is a smart guy, and he wanted him last year before the ownership insisted on
So kitchens. Smart. He has completely turned that organization around in the 5 years he's been there.
Well, I think he's better. I don't know. My point is that I think that I don't feel like it's a tremendous loss for the Vikings. I don't think like he had a tremendous impact on their offense. But I think he can't be worse than Freddie Kitchens, right?
I think if you're the Browns, you had to make a bigger splash of a hire. I think you go for a great college coach or something rather than a coordinator.
But weren't guys turning them down left and right?
I mean, it's very possible. Who would want that job, I guess? Yeah.
I mean, my dad, if you're Stefanski, you're only 37 years old, right? It's not like it's your only chance to become an NFL head coach. Maybe wait until you get a better opportunity. Although maybe he thinks, look, this offense, Baker Mayfield was a historically great rookie. They have two Pro Bowl wide receivers. They have a superstar running back. Like, they have a lot of weapons on offense. If you're an offensive mind, maybe you're the one who thinks that you can... you know, be the one to turn this around.
No, there's definitely pieces there.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck to the Browns. Look, I feel bad for the Browns. I root for the Browns. So.
No, it will be great. A day will come where the Browns win the Super Bowl and people will
I mean,
be
that
happy.
Division is going to be bonkers if he turns them around because, right, you have the Cincinnati
Bengals.
The
should have one more good year. Yeah.
Like, Joe Burrow, I have not been this confident in a quarterback coming out of college since, what, Peyton Manning? Like,
Not Andrew Luck?
I guess. I don't know. He's even better than Luck. He's unbelievable.
All right, let's not count our chickens before.
Look, I'm far from a college football expert, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just thought Burrow, I love everything about him. I think he's unbelievable. He turned Randy Moss's big tight end son into a star. Two touchdowns in a
that's fun. That makes you feel old when like you remember their first year. You don't just remember like their career. You remember.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I don't love seeing LSU. Like, at least LSU's uniforms are more yellow than purple. But like when you look in the stands or on the sideline, there's a lot of purple and gold celebrating, and I don't like seeing purple and gold celebrating when it's not mine.
Yeah, well, it's never gonna be yours, so you just gotta get used to it.
Yeah. All right. So, with apologies to all the listeners, but we will improve. It's up there.
Not here. Who's in the background there?
We got the electrician here.
There's always somebody in your house. It's like a full house.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome to. Oh no, Jen. Jen said you weren't. Remember?
Yeah, I'm not welcome to move in. That was clear. If I get kicked out, I am not allowed to move in.
Yeah, you can come for a limited time period.
I want to see this famous guest room where Jen has snacks laid out.
Yeah, she does have snacks. That's true.
She just all right. It's going to be a slog. Oh, so here. Okay, a couple things. All right. How about this for the listeners? Let's do a Royal Rumble podcast. We'll watch the Royal Rumble live and we'll talk about it.
What time is it on?
In a week from Sunday. It doesn't have to be live. We could watch it the next day. I'm confident you could remain unspoiled.
Okay, fine. Sure.
Maybe you'll watch live and you'll react and I'll have already seen it or something.
Whatever. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Royal Rumble.
We did that a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, we've done it before. Now, here's another one. People have really been asking. They want you to watch Rob's season of Survivor.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that in the offseason.
Can that be an off-season project? I think that people will tune in for that. I think people will be excited. We'll do like one a week. Maybe we'll have guests on or... Like, Av Sinensky said, like, he will watch with us. Like, he will, like, watch one a week and check it out. It won't happen, but it would be insanely hilarious if you became, like, a Survivor super fan.
Well, I don't think that... Let's not get ahead of ourselves, as you just said.
I know, but it would be funny. Like, if you, like, binged all 40 seasons.
Yeah, that's not going
to happen. It's a good time to get into it. They're doing 20 winners. 20, it's like the biggest season they were in. 20
Listen,
winners are coming.
I know for certain I would love The West Wing, and I'm not watching that because there's too many episodes to catch up on.
So West Wing sucks because Sorkin sucks.
Well, whatever. But the point is, you think I'm going to catch up on 40 seasons of a show?
Well, it's only the 13 episodes a season, like 15 technically, whatever. All right. Alexander, Chester. I did a podcast with your brother and Ovsinensky.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to be released. Maybe it already has, and I'm just not in the loop. I don't know if that's a 32 fans feed. Or the 32 fans movies. Why is that not called 32 movies? It makes no sense. Can they change their name?
You don't want to be associated with them?
No, it's not that. It makes no sense. Like, 32 fans is because there's 32 teams in the NFL. Yeah. Like, at least if they need to keep our branding, because it's so powerful that nobody will find them without us. The only thing I got is someone emailed me and is like, I searched for your podcast on some app, and I only found 32 fans movies, not you guys.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen? What app were they using?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. We're being SEO'd by our own sister podcast.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
So, anyway, what a delight. Probably the best episode we've ever done.
Yeah.
High energy.
Listen,
great audio.
The Vikings showed
no annoying
up
as kids.
Much as I did. So,
it's funny because, you know, I think there's no more kids on podcasts. I think people have had enough.
I agree with you. I don't know why you keep insisting on it.
No, but now I'm. Well, I didn't have a lock on my door. Now nobody else is coming in.
Well, I was talking more about your other podcast than this one.
Now listen. No more kids on podcasts. 2020. That's my platform. Oh, and let's close out the podcast by saying it's going to be Bernie versus Trump. That's going to be exciting, right?
That's your prediction?
I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be Bernie versus Trump.
I've been on record. Bernie has no chance, and I'm sticking to that.
No chance. Well, I mean,
no
he's
chance.
Like, he's winning
in
the polls.
He will not. Bernie.
Every time Bernie speaks, like, people come.
I was wrong last time.
Biden speaking to like 20 people in Iowa. Why does Bernie have all the like so many donations, like small donations, like so many more people are giving him money? I know Twitter's not real life, but like there are a lot of
Twitter's not real life.
There are a lot of sort of outside, and also if it was Bernie versus somebody like it was last time, I understand like those forces could conspire. But Bernie has support, whereas the other three or four people, you know, who are relevant or still remaining are sort of splitting it.
But Bernie Sanders will not be the Democratic nominee for president.
I will guarantee he will.
All right, let's
we put 100 fake million on it.
100 fake million?
You know, 100. Yeah, well, you want to put 100 million? I don't have 100. I don't have Chester bucks.
Let's put a billion fake billion on it.
Do we have a fake billion on if Bernie is the candidate?
But it's you against me this time.
Yeah.
All right. I can't believe you're giving me even odds on this. It's a win for me.
Yeah.
Talk to you later, Keith.
Bye.
Bye.
You once told about you were at his house and he got a text saying like, hey, I'm going to sleep, but if you come upstairs in the next 10 minutes, like, I'll make it worth your while. And you're like, okay, I'll go. And he's like, no, you have 9 more minutes to stay here. Is a very funny story.